Yes, and welcome back to Between Realities. My name is Alex. I am joined here by my co-host, Skiva. Skiva, how the hell are you?
Good. That's weird. Hey, how are you doing? Sorry, we're getting some audio feedback that we haven't had here before.
So but, Skiva's going to figure that out.
I'm going to figure that out. But how's everyone doing today?
Welcome, guys. A pleasure to have everybody here in the chat with us today. Delirium Drew. Eric, how's it going, brothers? Thanks for being here. Aspen Darkfire, pleasure to see you, man. Me and Aspen Darkfire just played some Echo VR and some real VR fishing the other day, and it was awesome.
Nice. Nice.
All VR is in the chat. We'll get to him in a minute here. Mateo311, the homie, how's it going, brother? Thanks for being here. Danny Hunkley, first guy in the chat today, gets the Early Bird Award.
Nice.
For joining us, guys.
How does the audio sound out there in YouTube land? You can't hear what the doubling that we're hearing, can you? this is a weird one.
Yeah, so it sounds like you've got it open somewhere.
Yeah, it does. But I don't. Okay. Well, anyway, I'll work on this while we kind of go. But
well, I foresee this being a huge problem because when our guest starts talking to us, we're going to be hearing double audio, and that's going to be really bad.
Yes. Okay. Well, I will continue to work on this then.
Maybe we'll throw up a little intermission screen for 30 seconds while we hammer this out.
Then I won't be able to hear. Yeah. Okay.
Like an intro.
Oh. Okay. Okay, guys, hold on one moment. We will be back. Uno momento. I'm going to go back to the intro screen. All right.
Hey, everybody. So I think
we got it.
I think we fixed it. And I think we're going to be okay.
Yes.
Thank you for your patience.
Yes. How's everyone doing? That was a Firefox bug, apparently.
Yeah, that was pretty weird, but thank you for being here. And let's not keep our guests waiting anymore.
Yes, let's not.
This
let's
guy's
not.
Been patient while so many of our guests have, while we hammer out issues like this on the Between Reality spaceship. I met today's guest when he reached out to me to have a conversation for his podcast called VRN Philosophy, which is an interview show that he hosts inside of VR Chat, where he goes into VR Chat with different people and has chats with them, and typically about, you know, philosophical shit, and it's a good time.
Really cool stuff.
Yep. So I had a blast with him, and of course, it was only a matter of time before we had him on our show. The channel is called Alt VR. The show is called VR and Philosophy, and he is called Joachim Vindenez. Please welcome him to the Between Reality Spaceship. Hello, sir.
Hello, and, sir. All right. There we go.
There he is.
There
you are. Jesus Christ.
I know.
Good to see you, buddy.
I'm fired. I'm firing you.
Good to see you, man. Thanks for being here.
Good to be here.
How you doing, bro?
Oh, I'm awesome. Yeah. Had a great week. Ready to be here.
Yeah.
Good. Awesome.
Yeah. It has been an exciting week in the world of VR.
It really has, man. There's been so much news. I mean, I feel like Oculus just came out swinging this week, man. There's just so much going on. It's very exciting. It's all very exciting for everyone in VR, everyone excited for VR, and all the people that are about to get into VR that have no idea what they're about to get into in their life. Like, you know, for me, this was obviously life-changing technology, and I'm really excited for other people to hop in and be like, oh my God, it really is the shit.
It really is that cool.
Yeah. But, so what should we start off with
So today? This is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking first what we should do is talk to Joachim for a minute, right? Because I'm sure a lot of people in the chat have not met Joachim before, maybe haven't been to Alt VR. Why don't you tell us about yourself a little bit, Joachim? Where was the moment where VR became the thing for you? And you know, what's your goal been on your channel so far?
Yeah, so I think the first time I tried VR was just randomly at some shopping mall, and then I think it was an HTC Vive, and I was on top of this mountain, and suddenly my fear of heights kicked in, and I realized that okay, this is real. And from then on, it's sort of at least dawned on me that, okay, we can't ignore this technology. This has potential. So, and from that point on, you start thinking. For my sake, what I'm doing, I'm a PhD candidate at the University of Bergen. So I'm actually working with VR in research as well. So YouTube is sort of my, and writing about VR is my way of sort of conceptualizing and working with the ideas that you maybe can't directly put in your thesis. When you're working in academia, sometimes it can get a bit too theoretical. So my YouTube channel is basically my way to keep up with development, keep up with what's new in terms of games and experiences. And for the YouTube channel especially, where I'm looking at, as the name is called, alternative experiences, not necessarily games. I don't really cover any normal games, but I'm looking into see how VR can transform consciousness and provide transformative experiences. So that's sort of my core interest.
Mm-hmm. One of your most recent videos featured you buying some time in a sensory deprivation tank and taking an Oculus Go into there and trying to see what the experience would be like if you tried to remove as much outside sensory perception as possible, which is a extremely novel idea. That sounds awesome.
And so cool.
He made a great video about it on his channel. Mm-hmm. But why don't you give us some anecdotes? Tell us a little bit about what that experience was like for you.
I really enjoyed that. I had planned it for quite a while. I briefly did it with a Samsung Gear about 2 years ago, but it didn't last very long, unfortunately. Immersion is sort of defined as the degree to which you are sort of encapsulated by virtual stimuli as related to the real. So one way of going for immersion is actually also to remove physical stimuli. So that was sort of the idea that tempted it. And also having spent time in the tank before, it can get really interesting and I mean, psychedelic. If you spend an hour in darkness without any sensory stimulation, yeah, it can get a bit weird. So I was wondering if you could have virtual stimuli, because you're already losing your bodily self-consciousness if you're in a flotation tank. So a flotation tank is this giant sort of pool filled with Epsom salts that make you float and also reduces your sensory input in terms of heat and weight and just anything. So having this with VR is very special because you don't get the situated perspective. It sounds weird, but when you don't identify as a body in the same way and sort of merge into your sensory perceptions, it doesn't necessarily feel as if you are here and you're looking at something virtual that is there. And yeah, I mean, I didn't get that much time now. There still was some issues with fog on the lenses, being worried that I'll destroy everything, and so on. But I think this has potential if you can design a headset in a better way. And I did get some visual hallucinations on top of the actual VR display, which was very weird and interesting.
Wow. That is interesting.
That sounds amazing, man. So I've always wanted to do just go in without any VR, just a normal sensory deprivation tank, and really just kind of explore my own mind. You know what I mean? When you cut out every sense, when you cut out your hearing and your sight and the feeling of even gravity, right? I mean, it leaves you in a really, really wild state where your body is searching desperately for input, because that's how we run. Yeah. And then to take that and put on VR and really go into some stuff, that just must have been just such a cool experience. And I'm kind of jealous. I kind of want to try that. You know, maybe we can take our original OG quests and we can go in there.
I got a use for it now.
Right. It doesn't matter if we get them all wet. We got new ones coming. So right.
Well, this is actually interesting because you might have to dig for this. Maybe that's what you've been doing. You guys might have to dig for this now. But on Twitter, you saw something that was pretty cool, dude. And it kind of would maybe be a good solution to what we're talking about here.
It would. And I
so Skiva on Twitter today, or I don't know, recently, whatever, he found a post of somebody that had Half-Life Alyx running on an AR headset.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Let me see if I can pull that up real quick. Because, over the next couple of years, I think we're really going to see people trying to get Half-Life Alyx running on everything, kind of like they did with, with Doom. So
yeah, Doom on a pregnancy test.
Yeah, right. So let's see. So this is some footage here from Twitter of Project North Star. So Project North Star is an AR headset that you can build yourself. They kind of send you a kit, right? And it's a wired VR headset that's decently cheap, but it's really out there for developers and people to be able to develop for augmented reality without spending a fortune on technology that isn't truly ready yet, but be able to kind of start building these experiences. Mm-hmm. So this guy was able to get Half-Life Alyx running in augmented reality, you know, which is pretty wild, which also goes to show that, you know, when Apple joins this game, the AR/VR game, that I do think they will be able to create a headset that can kind of black out what you might be seeing through the image.
Well, and the reason why I bring it up is if you're in a sensory deprivation tank, like, you know, you don't have like the typical problem of like a foreground, you know, like all the stuff that's not like it's removed, you know, like you're in a dark space or whatever. And as long as there's not too much light bleed, that becomes your input, to your point. Yeah. You know, like that's not your display. And if it looks good, if it's high fidelity enough, I bet you it would be enough to trigger some crazy shit. And maybe you wouldn't want to play Half-Life Alyx, right? But like enough to like get some crazy like visual patterns going, maybe some fractals and shit that could like
something like suck you in. What was that one, Soundscape or whatever, where you could kind of breathe and and kind of and it creates all these crazy visuals,
which sound is a self really, would be really perfect for
sound
the tank.
Self. Yeah, absolutely. That would be That was super cool, man. I thought that was one of the coolest ideas I had seen and most original ideas that I had seen.
And one thing that blows my mind about those tanks is how much goddamn salt is in
there. Oh, yeah.
Like, I forget the number, but it's staggering. Like, 1,000 pounds.
I think it's like 1,000 pounds. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, 1,000 pounds of salt in a small bathtub. Yeah. Like, they dissolve 1,000 pounds of salt.
Yeah, just so you can float and not sink,
what
right?
The fuck?
Be completely weightless.
Yeah. I mean, actually, I can show you. And my Oculus Go, I've still kept it like this, and it still has a lot of salt on it. And I'm not sure if it's possible to see, but I mean, the water is so salt that it's basically just salt.
Wow.
Well, a little bit of water.
It's really interesting.
How do they deprive you of tasting all that salt in there?
Well. Yeah, you shouldn't get it in your eyes or your mouth or anything. And if you have any open wounds, don't go near a wound.
That'd be hard. Yeah, that would sting quite a bit. But you know, I know salt water is very, very bad for electronics. So that must be a little bit nerve wracking, right? You're like, if I accidentally turn my head or I just drop this thing, it's definitely fried. You know what I mean? I don't think the lenses would be junk. It would be a bad.
That's why I used my Go, and that's why you'll probably use your Quests, which you mentioned. Suddenly, doesn't have the same extreme affectionate value anymore.
Right. Yeah,
I might wait a few years until I get something light form. Like that's why I thought of that post because it's like if I can get something that's just like nice and light and it's not bulky like a VR headset. Like I don't know if that's necessary. You know, like I think we could probably come up with something that is developed for that intention. You know, it's like, hey, you're going to wear this into a sensory perception or sensory deprivation tank.
Well, you know what's funny? I don't know if you remember. Did you guys see the movie Lawnmower Man? I'm pretty sure you probably did.
Yeah,
it's
of
about
course, of course.
It's about, you know, it's a 90s movie with shoot, what was that dude that name that
Pierce
played?
Brosnan?
Pierce Brosnan. Yeah, yeah. And he played this developer that was trying to develop virtual reality and to be able to make people smarter and stuff. And but they had this really interesting form of almost like a gravity anti-gravity thing where you're in these big circular things and your arms are kind of strapped on, your feet are strapped on, and you can kind of spin in full 360 motion. I feel like that would be kind of the same. And I know I'm a little bizarre. I would put something like that in my house and most people wouldn't, but you know, I'm wondering, you know, like what is it going to take to get us to not feel our bodies in VR. You know what I mean? Is it going to be a brain interfacing thing where we feel completely just immersed? Or do you think something like one of these deprivation tanks would actually work to give you more immersion? Like, could I just go lay in my bathtub, turn off the lights with some Epsom salt in the tub?
Right. I don't know. I didn't know what they looked like. And it's definitely not what I imagined. I'm pretty sure your video is the first time I'd seen one. I've never seen footage of a sensory deprivation tank before. And it is not at all what I imagined. I definitely imagined like some kind of like matrix pod.
Yeah.
You know, like some like small like capsule
or
something.
Yeah, but they have those too.
Okay, do they?
The first one I was in was actually that. Yeah. They have one that is basically a tank. This is more like a flotation pool. It's the same thing, but it just looks a bit better perhaps. And it's easier to film in. That's why I chose that one.
Right.
But I mean, in terms of the pragmatics, interaction and actually sort of being down to earth. Of course, the problem about being in a flotation tank is that you can't actually interact with your arms or feet because you're sort of losing the feeling. But what I really would like to explore and I think could have potential would be to use the eyes as some sort of input and navigating through moving your eyes inside the tank. And if you could get some sort of agency and move through worlds just lying there being no one, I think that could be a really, really interesting experience.
I like
that's
that.
Of course a few years down.
And that has accessibility implications too. There's a lot of people who don't have motor function who could do those things and have an amazing experience.
Yeah. Man, I wish I pulled this video, but there was recently, during Facebook Connect, I believe they had a video of someone that had a very, you know, not a typical hand, right? I think the guy had like 2.5 fingers, but they were able to put that bracelet on.
Dude.
Right?
That blew my mind.
Yeah, where Facebook was able to, you know, so Facebook bought this kind of well, how do you describe that device? It's like a neural input device, right, that you put on your wrist, and it can track what you want to do with your hands and your fingers just by kind of thinking about it. And yeah, and so they brought somebody in that didn't have all his fingers. He only had like 2, but within 5 minutes, they said he was able to individually move all of his fingers and do all of this really cool stuff just by thinking about it.
I really want to expand on this. But before we do, Rendered Reality is here. What's up, Rendered Reality? Thanks for joining us. Shout out to Dine and Gwen in the chat. And shout out to Aspen Darkfire for calling you out for asking a room of VR enthusiasts if they've seen Lawnmower Man. It's like you think we needed that synopsis?
I don't know, man. You just never know. I feel like I'm kind of old with some of the movies that I pick up, and people are probably like, "What the hell is that?"
And maybe you are, but I don't think those kids are in this chat right now.
Right on.
I'm just teasing you. So is Aspen. Darkfire, that is. So anyway, to expand on that, because that blew my mind, The guy that was missing a finger, like, it became about gaining like control options in VR, right? So like the guy who's missing a finger, you wear a headset, and when you look at your hand, you have all 5 hands. And when you wear that thing on your forearm, it reads like the nerves. It's like way more sensitive than an EEG on your forearm than it is like on the head. So it can get way more of like your intention here. And there, it'll pick up the subtlety that you attempt to use to move that finger that you don't have, but you perceive to have in VR. And then you can learn to have that as a control option in a game where you don't have that finger. And if they can do that, then people who have 5 fingers can add the 6th finger, right? Like, that's what they did. Yeah. And they understood that your brain will just carve that pathway regardless. And that's the really question is, will it or will it? You know, how pliable is the brain? Mm-hmm. But your brain might carve that pathway for that 6th finger. And when you wear the VR headset, you could control stuff subtly. And then even when you don't, right? Like, you could take it off and you could be interacting with AR with a 6th finger that you don't have, you know, and your brain is like,
that's great.
That's like, that you could gain arms and like control keyboards that don't exist. Like, holy shit.
You know, the most interesting stuff in Facebook Connect wasn't even the VR stuff, right? I mean, it was stuff like that. Right, the stuff where they're able to take that the audio and focus on certain voices and certain sounds in certain rooms. You could be in a noisy bar, right? And I could just look at you and select you, and then you were the only thing I would hear. You know, there could be all kinds of just so much noise going on, but you'd be able to, you know, it can filter out everything except for what you want to hear, which is wild. You start putting all these things together, and we have a really insane VR future ahead of us.
So I want to get Joachim's thoughts on this, like, phantom limb generating user interface potential of this technology. What are you thinking about over there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this has sort of been known a long time, but of course it hasn't been relevant in the terms of like they're showing it at Oculus Connect or, but I mean, in the 80s or 90s, Jaron Lanier, you know, the sort of father of VR or the CEO and founder of the VPL research, he termed this homuncular flexibility, because one of his first passions actually going into VR was to see what kind of animals forms he could embody. So homuncular flexibility, I think he termed that based on like lobsters, because he basically designed a VR app that lets you embody a lobster. And exactly like you're saying, you get to rewrite like the synapses or whatever. I don't know how it works, but it does work. And the fact
I'm
that
not
we're
a brain
able to embody,
no,
yeah, but it works. And the fact that we're able to embody things that are not just our own human bodies, that is more than fascinating. It just shows so much potential. And I mean, adding another finger, sure, but what if you can add a building or a world? I mean, whatever. it can just be we don't know where this is leading at all. And
but if you can control wings on your back, or there's so many different things that you could do, and you could just think and have things happen. And you know, this is where we're heading. Everyone's working on brain interfacing right now. You know, Facebook is a huge one. Valve is a huge one. This is being taken very seriously. And you know, Neuralink, I mean, what can you say about that? I mean, you know, when you were able someday to have a Neuralink device and then sync it up with our, you know, Valve Index 4, you know, well,
and you often talk about, like, you know, when are we going to become a two-hand species again?
Yeah.
But like, what if we just add arms, man? Like, imagine taking that line of thinking and developing inside of the virtual space an arm that, like, branches off of your shoulder that holds your phone in front of you, that has, like, perfect manipulation of everything and can just, like, crush it, right? Yeah. So you can just, like, form that pathway in your brain every time you're wearing that, and then you now have both of your hands to interact with stuff, your real hands. Mm-hmm. But when you want to interact with your phone, you just kind of think it, and your fake third arm manipulates everything, you know? Like, that is so weird.
Yeah, being able to control virtual limbs is really huge. Everyone wants to know, how are we going to solve locomotion? If you could do this to your legs and just think about moving your, you know, just naturally think about walking, right? And all of a sudden you're walking. That would be...
That's so weird, though. Locomotion is a tricky one.
It really is. It really is. I'm not exactly sure how we're eventually going to tackle that, but I feel like brain interfacing of some kind is going to be kind of part of that secret sauce, you know?
Yeah. What do you think, Joachim? What do you think about the locomotion?
Oh, it's really tricky. I mean, redirected walking is promising and all that, but it doesn't seem to solve things down to the living room size, unfortunately, and that's what people need to be able to actually utilize it. I think that we can adjust to other kinds of navigation, just as we're doing now with like gliding or teleporting or that kind of stuff. But yeah, it is a tricky problem. It doesn't seem like there is some sort of silver bullet for this one, but maybe there is a place for, like we discussed, standalone, or not standalone, I mean, being at the same place, but still navigating in some sort of way, through, gaze or even those limbs or whatever, in which that it can give us an experience. But I do not think it will be the same as embodied walking, because we have to remember that we are embodied creatures, bodily creatures, and this can be manipulated through VR, but movement, I mean, we really have it in ourselves to know where we are. So
you know, you're starting to kick up memories of talking to Andrea Iancojikoru right now, because when I talk to her, she likes to talk about this, and how, like, the hardware is designed or formed by the software or the input, you know what I mean? And how we, as humans, you know, have that instinct to where, like, we have to, like, move our bodies through space to navigate, you know, to use your word, which I think is a good one. So she talks about VR challenging that, you know, and challenging a lot of that stuff, and, like, maybe being used as a tool to start to reshape, I guess, our perspective of these things. And I guess if that happens, then we inherently change, right? Like, something at the core has to change in order for a shift like that to take place. And I don't know what you want to call that, if you want to call it evolution or, you know, whatever.
But, digital, you know, evolution.
Yeah, something. Yeah. Some kind of, like, crescendo, you know, or, like, boiling over point, you know what I mean? Is any of this, like, resonating? What do you think, dude?
Yeah, I mean, we are extremely flexible as human beings, and this is, of course, illustrated in the terms of, if I'm lying in my bed one morning and just browsing through various news sites, right? I mean, I also have an embodiment relation to that. There is sort of, I'm focusing wholly on my smartphone. Doesn't seem very healthy or necessarily even feel like that, but we are then traversing vast amounts of information and sort of also digital spaces, although we are lying still. So we are extremely, extremely flexible as human beings. And I think that we can get used to, I mean, we are already used to navigating in VR for those who are actually using VR. I remember that I have a colleague that is researching something that is called game transfer phenomena, sort of when you have learned a certain behavior in a game and then trying to utilize it in the virtual, or sorry, in the real world. And when I played Half-Life Alyx this spring, I remember that after a particularly heavy day of perhaps like 5 or 6 hours, I had gotten used to, and there were some heavy fights, I had gotten used to orienting sort of my own head around using my Vive wands and also teleporting. So when I was thinking of going to the kitchen, I was like, all right, I'll just double tap that to orient myself 180 degrees and then I'll teleport back to the kitchen. And I was like, okay, no, this isn't working. So, I mean, already there, just in a few days, I had sort of rewritten my way of getting to somewhere. So, of course, we are extremely flexible, but I still think that it's not that we can't do without our bodies, but there is so much there to use in terms of the richness and sensory perception that we have. So I hope that there is some sort of silver bullet somewhere that someone just genius will find. But yeah, it's rough.
I gotta tell you that. So I played through almost immediately. I played through Half-Life Alyx 2 times in a row, and after that, man, I just walked around going, you know, I just immediately be like, oh, I need that cup.
Oh, yeah, right.
The hell's wrong with my controller? I can't. Yeah. you get used to it. Your brain starts to think like, oh, this works. You know, Half-Life Alyx, everything looks so real. Everything feels so real. And then you come out of it and you're like, oh, we're still in the same place, you know, but we're not. So, you expect to see some combine outside. Aspen
Darkfire, I'm glad you mentioned something about dreams, because I was over here thinking about dreaming while we were having this conversation, and he second guesses himself now, so I guess I won't read his statement. but you mentioned dreams, and I think it's a good thing to bring up in this conversation, which I was wanting to bring it up, because when you're dreaming, you're laying in your bed, you ain't doing shit.
No,
your body ain't doing shit.
But you still feel like you're,
running across a field from a serial killer, you know, whatever your guys' dreams are. But that's me. That's me every night. You know?
So Alyx is always trying to be murdered.
And dreams are so goddamn real. Yeah. Like they are they are real, dude. Like they are real. And we could have we could have the ancient Greek, you know, philosophical perspective argument about it if we wanted to right now. Yeah. But they're real, man. And it feels like you're there because you are in a sense there. Same with virtual reality, right? Like you are in a sense in that place.
Well, you know, and I don't want to steal Morpheus's stuff here, but really what is real? Right? What is real? Your brain interpreting different signals as something that you are seeing or something that, you know, it feels like you're moving. How is that really different than when you're to your brain than when you're actually doing it in real life? Mm-hmm. Right. You know, so I feel like we're about to go down this path with things like Neuralink, where I feel like we should be able to reproduce something like that.
Right.
We, you know, our brain is capable. We know that from dreams, right? If we're, you know, Elon Musk was talking about possibly recording dreams, you know, eventually, which would be, yeah, that would be sweet. that would be so sweet.
Recording what?
You'd also get in a lot of trouble, right?
The screen of my brain?
Yeah, well, like, I don't know.
How can you get images out of that?
I don't know, bro. He's a smart mother.
And you know what? Joachim has worked on a project recently that is also very interesting and relevant to this conversation, also relevant to the name of our podcast, Between Realities, because that is really why we like this name so much, is because when we start to do all this stuff, we start to scratch at the surface of this shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about if you're in the VR space or you're in a dream, are you there or are you in your bed, right? Or is it both simultaneously? You know what I mean? Joachim has taken this to the next level and mapped his apartment in VR, right? So whereas before, like when we go into VR, it's like you like turn down the dial of the real world sensory perception and you turn up a dial of a VR sensory perception. So that way this one drowns out that one. Mm-hmm. And this one, he's trying to get both of those dials to like have the same frequency. You know, you're in VR and it's the same space there. I mean, you know, this isn't a completely foreign idea. A lot of like location-based experiences and stuff are accomplishing things like this now. Yeah. But having it be your house adds, I think, a personal and emotional connection to it, because you exist in that space, so you're constantly contributing energy to the existence of, like, not just the physical space of it, but, like, the emotional space of it as well. And when you incorporate, you know, when you tune those dials to the same frequency, I don't know, I could maybe see that starting to get a little bit weird, or having some effects that maybe you didn't expect or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do. Yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, it's I developed this in Unity, and when I'm sort of trying to calibrate perfectly, I usually have to make some sort of adjustments, right? So I have to take this chair a little bit to the left, and when I'm going back to Unity to sort of put that chair to the left, I can't remember if it was the physical chair that was going to the left or the virtual chair that was going to the left. But I kept doing mistakes, and yeah, I mean, regarding like what is real up in this, there is a sense that when I am in my virtual apartment, I have the exact same feeling of being there in my actual apartment. I mean, of course it doesn't look the same, but I know that I'm there. And that is very weird, because I was thinking, we had this contest where you, Alex, commented that it would be cool, like, if you could have visitors there. And when you said that, that sort of blew my mind, because it was unexpected. I was thinking, oh wow, that would actually be really weird to have someone virtually come visit me in my virtual apartment. That would be completely different than meeting someone in VR chat. And that sort of speaks about like the sensitivity or the familiarity that you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
So, well, because in VR, there's such a sense of presence, right? So if you have captured the sense of presence of your apartment, and then you invite the sense of presence of someone else, and they're like in your kitchen, and then they like take the headset off real quick, and you take the headset off, it's almost like you can see their spirit like fizzle or dissolve where it was standing there a second ago. You know what I mean? Like, you're standing
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, man. You know, I'm moving. Most people here know I'm moving now. But I scanned my basement. You know, I did some photogrammetry, and I took a bishmillion pictures. And, you know, I am hoping that after I move, I can put it together and I can invite people over, and we can have almost that same experience, except, you know, their avatar will look a little different, right? But we'll still be able to hang out in the same man cave. You know what I mean? It'll be preserved for all of time. And it's interesting that we're able to do that and then bring other people in. You know what I mean? And that right there is a huge thing for just, you know, multiplayer experiences. You have to be able to bring people into things for it to really feel real and to really share experiences, you know, because I don't know about you, but if I go to do something super awesome and I'm by myself, it's not as great. But as soon as I can share it with a friend, it's the best thing ever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm very excited for that whole thing, to be able to have a space that you might not have. You might move to a studio apartment, but you still have this giant space where you can hang out with your friends. Right. I mean, it's the whole thing. And, you know, and Oculus was, you know, part of the Facebook Connect thing was they're talking about, you know, trying to get virtual workspaces and making the most out of our space with VR, you know. And I already use VR for work, you know. It used to be about 8 hours a day. I'm not doing that as much.
What did they call it? Infinite screen or something like that?
Yeah.
Was it infinite screen? Or
well,
infinite?
They talked about that. Yeah. How you can have infinite screen space, right? Mm-hmm. Just like a million of them. Pile them up, make them as big as you want, as small as you want.
Yeah. Like, yeah, and they were actually snapping it to physical things in the environment.
Right.
So you can sit at your desk with your keyboard, and you can snap that virtual picture to your monitor. Now, you know, that's super cool, and it really gets me excited for something like the Quest 3 or the Quest 4, where those pass-through cameras are full color, very high definition and high resolution, to be able to use that augmented reality feature, if you will.
Rendered
you
know reality I mean? Says Infinite Office.
Ah, Infinite Office, yep. That's the one.
So, anybody been in Horizon yet? Have you done Horizon, Joachim?
No, I wasn't invited, but I'm curious to hear about you.
Well, I think it sucks.
Well, that's too bad. But is there like creator possibilities for creating virtual worlds as well? Have you tried any of the sort of making your own little thing?
To be completely fair, no. However, I'm not really interested in creating VR games. Like, I like to play VR games.
Well,
you know what I mean? And like, it's almost like this whole platform was like relying entirely on the community taking the reins from them.
But how is this different than Rec Room? And Rec Room is the biggest thing ever.
It's not.
I mean, it's, yeah.
It's not. And Rec Room does it better. Altspace does it better. VR Chat arguably does it better. And it definitely does it better.
Well, dude, I'll tell you what, though. I feel like this is very, it's a little controversial, right? Because I felt when I've spent a lot of time in all of those platforms, spent a lot of time in Altspace, Big Screen, you know, VR Chat, all that stuff, Rec Room. But I got a sense of presence in Horizon by the way the avatars were moving, specifically when I was having conversations with people, the way their eyes were moving, the way their face was doing these little things that none of the other social platforms were doing. And it gave me this, you know, just in standing in front of an avatar is all I'm talking about and talking to somebody.
Avatar system, though.
It is.
That exists
is.
Separately from Horizon. That's going to transcend Horizon.
But that's the core. Horizon is going to be kind of the foundation. And everything
cool
will kind of be built on top of that.
The core of the game.
Like, no, but it's...
We can't revolve around that.
But it's social.
Well, it is an essential part of the social experience, though.
It is an essential part, sure, but it doesn't matter how good it looks if there's nothing cool to do.
Yeah. But so this is the beginning, right? And just like Rec Room. So when Rec Room hit Quest... It was very limited. It was like there was like a couple things you could do. Everyone in PC Land had all the bells and whistles, but you didn't really have anything on the Quest. Now we're like, this is a platform that was just spun up. You know, they're just working on it. It's not in a place where it's commercially ready yet. 2 years from now, dude, like with a $299 Oculus Quest 2 with a higher resolution than an Index, people are going to be in here. People are going to be in Horizon. People are going to be making stuff. It's going to turn into this giant world. It will. I think it will. I really and truly do. And I'm not saying I want it to. I'm not saying I want anything Facebook to succeed necessarily.
I'm really skeptical, man.
Not anymore.
It's mainly because That will probably not be someone's first VR experience, but it might be their second or third, right? Like, you buy the headset, what do? You play Beat Saber. When you have it to yourself, you play some Super Hot and you shred for a while. And then eventually it's like, okay, I want to see my friends. And you go into Horizon. And when you get in there, you've just played Beat Saber and you've just played Super Hot. And then you go into Horizon and, dude, have you played any of the games in there?
Yeah.
So
I had a blast.
I did not.
I had real fun.
They work.
What kind of games are there?
There's like like a laser tag kind of thing that they did. There's like a way you can like rove from this water.
I had a blast on that game that was like kind of like a Temple of Doom or whatever, like an Indiana Jones type of thing where you had to get through the obstacle course. It was a platformer. It was a puzzler.
I'm glad you're here to defend it. Because I think that's good to have balance.
I had fun. I really did have
Here's
fun.
Here's my point, dude. My point is no one's going to be impressed. If it's your third VR experience.
How were they impressed with Rec Room? How is anyone impressed with Rec Room? Rec Room looks like shit. This doesn't as much.
The avatars, though. The world looks like garbage, dude. All of the rooms that I went to, like, did you see that room with the big flying dragon? It's like a big dragon flying up there. Like, if that's like, the people aren't using the, like, people are using the tools to the best of their ability, and they'll get better,
they will get better.
Just like
when you bought a Quest. Quest was very limited. You could go in, there was a couple of games, there was no hand tracking, there was no pass through, there was no, you know, all they've added, that, you know, that I, the one thing I got to give them, man, is that you buy a device from them and a year later it's going to be way more than what you purchased originally. And I feel like Horizon is going to be exactly the same. A year from now, it's going to be so much content. 2 years from now, it's going to be mind-boggling amounts of content. It's going to be a free thing, just like Rec Room, except it's going to be tied to a social platform where all these people are able to get together quickly. And, you know, I appreciate
your optimism. I really do. However, currently, dude, they have limitless resources, bro. limitless resources. And I went in there and nothing, dude, I gotta be honest, man, nothing impressed me except for the avatars. The avatars look great, sure. And they connect and the eyes dart around. And I do like the avatars. It would be great to see them in other stuff. They're a little cheesy looking.
And the avatars aren't perfect either, right? Whatever. Because you start with this one person. There isn't, you cannot choose male or female, right? You just, you have to make yourself look however you want. There's no facial hair, the stuff like that. But this is all stuff I feel like they're just a couple clicks of a button. After it's designed, they'll be able to import
that. And Rendered Reality says Facebook owns Beat Games. They should integrate the new multiplayer aspect into Horizons, people hanging out and then walk into a Beat Saber.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening. Have you been in there? Because that's not what this is. It's Rec Room, bro, and it's without the ability to import Blender files or something so you can actually use other legitimate tools and bring them in. Otherwise, you know, why not use AltSpace where you can make a beautiful room or something and then pull it in and hang out with everybody in there? It's even on the Quest. You can just play AltSpace on the Quest.
Yeah, but yeah.
This is what they should have done, dude.
Yeah,
they
so have the resources. I have a question,
please,
too. I mean,
please.
In terms of the Horizon... It's so dependent on users, though. I mean, was it a lot of users when you were there? And did you get to hang out with anyone you knew? I mean, I'm not necessarily like a big Facebook or Oculus fanboy either. But I mean, it gives so much more if you know who someone is and you're able to have an experience with them. Did you feel present with
people? I ran around with one person and we had a great time while I was cracking jokes about how I wasn't impressed with it. I will say that.
That's right.
Like, we did have the presence there during that thing. But Facebook, what they should have done, in my opinion, because they had the resources to, is still give the creator tools, sure, but have some legit, good, bounceable games that everyone can jump into. They advertised it with like these planes flying and shit, and they show like this game where like people are chopping vegetables and stuff, and they lead you to believe that the chopping of the vegetables is almost like a race or like who can do it the best or we're working together or something like that. That's not what that is. First of all, there's no airplane thing that I saw. Second of all, the chopping thing is just an animation. Like that you walk up to the block and there's like a big chunk of, I don't know, a polygon, and then you hit it a few times and it chops up into like four polygons. And you hit it a few more times and it chops up into eight, and then you hit it again and it goes back into one and the cycle repeats. Like there's no game there.
Yeah.
It's a room, you walk around for a minute, you're like, okay, and that was it. Now granted, maybe somebody has the ability to make something out of that, but at what cost? And why not just play a legitimate fucking game?
Yes, but you also got to look at this from a technical standpoint too. Right, this, they had to build this foundation of things that would be able to enter and exit this world and be able to port into different games and be able to bring people, like the foundation of the code is probably what took 99% of the time. Once the foundation is there, then you can throw, I mean, all the games and the experiences are going to come. You know what I mean? Like that, but it would never be as good unless they spent time. And I don't know if, I truly don't know if they have, but the only way it's going to be successful is if me and you put on our headsets, we're in Horizon, we walk somewhere, we're like, bro, let's hop into this multiplayer game. We open a portal, boom, we're both in there in the same lobby. You know what I mean? And in order for this to be successful, that's what they have to be working on. And for that to be in the core code, I mean, they really, there's a lot that they have to do and that they have to get right.
But they're
and
not
that's all on the back end.
They're not advertising it as that. They're not saying that's coming. They're not being like, we're like, you're giving them, in my opinion, way too much of the benefit.
Yeah, maybe I am.
You know, which again, I appreciate your optimistic perspective, but I love VR. I love multiplayer gaming. All I want to do is play with my friends in VR. And I was optimistic going into that. And I was like, really? Shit.
Yeah,
like I think it has, to Render Reality's point, a long way to go.
It does.
Before it, does. It resembles anything that I would recommend, you know. And in the meantime, I'll just invite my dad to join me in real VR fishing and then jump into multiplayer Beat Saber. Why the fuck am I going to go play those garbage games in Horizons that, you know, someone worked really hard to do, and I appreciate that, but they're not as good as developer-made games that you can play already, you know. Like, I just don't see the reason. The avatar's not enough for
you. The only thing you can do is keep in mind that this is still an invite-only beta, and that's as far as we've gotten.
I appreciate you, sir.
Yeah, once this comes out of beta, I feel like, you know, and typically I don't have that much faith in Facebook because of Facebook. What was that first garbage program they put out? Facebook Spaces. I was like, guys, really? You have how many programmers, and this is what you came up with? this is garbage, and you just bought a VR company, you know? So, but then I saw what they did with the Quest, and I saw how they were able to make these magical things happen with the tracking, being, you know, putting the controllers right up to your face for competitive shooters and things like things that shouldn't work that they were able to pull off, you know? And I feel like if that's the case with Horizon, eventually down the line, I think we're going to see some cool stuff, and maybe we won't, you know, because we know what Facebook's word is worth. Well, it's worth nothing right now. But
I appreciate your perspective. Yeah. What's up, future, in the chat? Good to see you, brother.
How's it going, man?
Onikaze is here. Sweat, sweat, nug, nug. JJ is in the house, as always. Thank you, brother. It's good to see you as well. Joachim, where do you stand with this Facebook thing, man? Because I fucking flip-flopped this week hard. For a second, after watching the Social Dilemma, I was like, I am out. Fuck this. And then I spent the whole day talking to people. Like, I chatted with multiple people throughout the day. I actually chatted with Scobalizer for a while, and he, like, gave me, I mean, the guy's been in tech forever and like gave me a lot of perspective about it. I mean, he's just like, whatever, dude, this is happening, whether or not you fucking sign up for it, you know? And I'm just like, God damn it, you're right. You know, like, there's, I don't know if me not participating is going to do anything, and it's just going to be shooting myself in the foot.
It does. No, but it does. It does. You can't ever let anyone have that kind of attitude.
But I have to.
Because if you just give up, then you just give up.
But you're buying it.
I'm buying it for science.
Yes.
I'll tell you what. Honest to God, though, if it wasn't for the show, I probably wouldn't.
Right.
I'm not even kidding. I would dump Facebook in a minute. I would. But at the same time, I want to be able to talk about this stuff.
Right.
I want hands-on with all of these things. I am sacrificing myself to the gods of stealing my soul.
Where you know are you at, Joachim? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, I have the same kind of excuses to a certain extent. I mean, I would love to in my private life and in my business life to be without Facebook. I can really romanticize that idea. So for me too, it's in terms of research, business, career, I'm on Facebook, but that doesn't just concern the new stuff that's happened to Oculus. I'm not necessarily, we knew that were coming, of course, when they purchased Oculus back in 2015 or 14 or whatever. So for my part, it's just a personal sort of existential choice. I'm unfortunately on Facebook. I choose to do so because of the benefits. I am, however, a bit concerned personally over, in terms of research, we can't just give Quest 2s to participants. It's not ethically sound to conduct research while it's obligatory for participants to actually sign up for Facebook. So there are some choices there, but one part of me, of course, wants to leave as well. I want to be off the grid as anyone would like to, but I don't like to take the sort of black-white stand at it. Facebook is giving us a lot of opportunities. We met almost through that, right? We're all connected through media. They have business models. We're now on Discord and this and YouTube. No one is charging us anything, right? I mean, if we lived in a world where information wasn't some sort of commodity, then we would have to pay and have a completely another system for doing the things that we do. But I am looking and keeping my eye open for the possibilities to keep doing VR and staying off the grid. I mean, Windows Mixed Reality is now looking a whole lot more interesting to me. And I can't wait to see the day that we get something like the Quest 1 even, with the inside-out tracking, the batteries, yeah, that's just not the same that we could. I mean, VR is so cyberpunk, you know? We need to have some sort of cyberpunk VR stuff going on. Hacking. I can't wait when I won't sell my old Quest. I'll use it. And I can't wait till I can jailbreak it, you know? And I think that we need to have a hacker community in terms of the VR stuff to at least still keep the option to be free. I'll also be plugged into Facebook because I've been so for a long time and that's sort of my life, but I want to see the free hackers, the free VR hackers creating experiences
that are not tied to the grid. Fuck yeah. Well, yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it does. It does. There's a couple things I wanted to touch on from your points there. First of all, you know, we're getting this stuff for free, monetarily for free, right?
Yeah,
but
right.
But it's not free. Right, we're paying with our data. We're paying with our biological data. We're paying with our actions, with everything we do. And now with Horizon, we're going to be recorded 24/7 in there, right? So we are paying. And it would be nice if there were a pay option, right? Hey, don't sell me. I'll give you money. Like, I will give you money to leave me alone and keep me private. You know what I mean? Like, I would happily hand over to Facebook to not sell my data and stuff like that, right? So I mean that's an option. Now I don't like having people feel like they don't have any power, right? Like, oh, we're getting this stuff for free, let's just deal with it, right? Because here's the thing: if we all said nope, don't approve, and every single person signed out of their Facebook account and that was it, and we all deleted it and we said nope,
but they won't.
That'll be it. What would they do? Right, but they won't. But the people have the power. The people have the power. If everyone stopped, Facebook would either A, go out of business, or B, they would change. Well, they would have to, or they would die.
And I tried to start a revolution.
Right? Yeah.
You know, right. I was like, does anybody else like maybe want to join me here? And everybody's like, dude, are you kidding me? You need that. It's like, fuck, okay.
We're in a shitty situation, but what's going to happen is someone's going to come out. There's competitors coming. I promise you, there are competitors coming to the Quest. You know, HTC said outright, that's the direction they're going to be going. Right. We know there's other companies that are going to be entering this market. You don't have something this successful without other companies scrambling to try to get a piece of the pie. Mm-hmm. Stuff is coming.
Well, right? And I do promise that, like, I'm not going to fucking beat this dead horse. You know, like, I know that at this point I've already pulled the trigger. I got a pre-order coming. I paid the cash. It's gonna happen. I could cancel it, but I know I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. So I'm in. So I'm not gonna sit here and fucking cry about Facebook every episode because I'm contributing. You know what I mean? Yeah. That would just be
But people need to know
and we will bring them up, I think, as they develop. You know, but for the time being, we all know what we've signed up for, and we might as well just fucking lay comfortably in the graves that we've dug for ourselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because we will. But as soon as there's another headset that allows me to grab on and pull myself out of that Facebook grave, I'm out.
Cool. And follow Skiva on Twitter because he'll tell you when that
is. Yes. Yeah. Follow me on Twitter at Skiva. Mm-hmm. I tweet. But you know what, though? Speaking of Twitter, I've never seen anyone with a Twitter presence like this guy.
I know, what the fuck?
Look at the monitor right below me here. Like, that is a lot of Twitter accounts right there.
I need you to justify having four Twitters to me right now.
Yeah. No, there's five. Did I even put... Oh, no, I did put his personal one.
Distributed personalities, so that's rough.
It's all good stuff, though, you know? And like the Matrice blog, right? We haven't really talked about that at all. That's like VR and consciousness. Like, that is one of the most fascinating things to me. I am absolutely fascinated by consciousness and what it is and how it really works. And you know, so that's my favorite of your content, I think. You know, just the stuff you that's put cool, out man. On that is fantastic. But, you know, all your stuff's great. And you guys should definitely go down in the description and click all of those little Twitter links and hit the follow button because there's some good stuff.
What's the Matrice blog, Joachim?
Oh, well, tell us. Yeah, that would be my favorite type of content too. I mean, I think I started doing YouTube like in February this year. So that's quite recent. And that goes for the VR and philosophy podcast too. So, the text blog, I think I've done for 2 or 3 years, writing articles about philosophy tied to virtual reality. And that's sort of really escalated. It's been a part of my sort of side gig or side expressions when I've been doing my PhD. So it's not necessary. I mean, it is a popular philosophy blog in the sense that it's supposed to be relatively down to earth to read, but at the same time it is perhaps not for everyone, but it's the blog for me. I love it, but it does take up complex ideas and it's very abstract. I'm never mentioning any specific brand or headsets or years. I mean, this is sort of like ideas that are hopefully quite free from any age. So I'm discussing ultimate VR realizations, the potential of the medium, especially focusing on the potential of synchronizing ourselves with the virtual, having the virtual inform ourselves and define ourselves and change who we are. And it's just my favorite thing to do, philosophizing about VR, and it's happening there.
Yeah. Well, it's good stuff, because when you think about everything we're seeing, and we are able to then go into VR and you know, with this new technology that Facebook has with the neural bracelets, I'm sure I'm screwing that up, but and the brain interfacing units coming from, you know, the research that Valve's doing and the Neuralink stuff. I mean, there will be a point where, you know, our games and our VR experience is going to be indistinguishable from what we do currently. And, you know, that might not be tomorrow. It might be 100 years from now. Who knows, right? Hopefully it's more like 5, uh-huh, or something like that. But, but you know, but, you know, and that just, that kind of digs into, you know, that whole thing, right? Like, what, you know, it really makes you think about a person's brain. If we're able to in VR think we are a different species, we have different amount of fingers, and, you know, or whatever the case may be, and we're able to control that and really, really role play that, you know, in a way that we've never been able to before, and really, really feel that, you know, then what is life going to become? Like, do we want to be stuck in this body? You know, are we stuck in this body? Do we have avatars somewhere else where this is, you know, where this is a game? How do you know where that technology ends and where it begins? And, you know, I don't know. I guess this is kind of an open-ended question.
but it's super relevant. Just having this technology, we can see the potential, and it's happening sooner than I thought. I mean, just the recent increments. I mean, both with the Quest, but also with the new graphics card. I mean, holy shit.
Yeah, right.
I need a 390 with the Reverb G2. It's just super fascinating, and I think that there isn't much VR philosophy going on. I mean, there isn't that many people. Of course, there is, like, everyone is talking about the potential, but we need to relate this literature, because there is so much things that have been discovered through philosophy in terms of our identity and phenomenology, especially, and all these philosophers have things to say in terms of how our sensory impressions are guiding who we are and how we identify, and just technology philosophy in terms of what is technology. I mean, many philosophers are saying, for instance, that technology is an expression of ourselves. And in that case, mm-hmm, VR is an expression of ourselves. And what does it mean for human beings to express themselves through illusion? So there are all these questions about who we are and all of this, because VR is a human thing. It's created by humans. From the first story that we tell ourselves, I mean, narratives, entertainment, like we are doing right now, we're creating all these schemes and plays, like video games for other people. Everything is this game, or like weaving of smoke and illusion. We like to play, and we play through VR, but VR can get serious. And it's just fascinating to see who we are in the midst of this technological realization.
Mm-hmm. I really want you to just, like, take control of the show here, you know, like, either just keep talking, or, you know, like, or start a discussion around something that you think is severely lacking and maybe needs a little bit more attention. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm willing to sit here and listen to you talk for a while, or you can ask us a question to get the juices flowing and maybe try to get to something that you think, like I said, is important.
Yeah, sure. That sounds like a good idea. I mean, what I really enjoy as a metaphor for what VR can do, and I think that can also bring us closer to what we want to do with the medium, is in terms of psychedelics. And there I may have some questions, because there is this focus on, I mean, within religions, right, or any sort of philosophical system, there is this strong division of I am here, and here is this microphone transferring something to you, and I'm seeing you there, and this, it doesn't come across as a wholly united stream of experience necessarily. We'd discard it. We have these bits there and bits there. There's a camera, there's my other screen, there's this. So we thingify and event everything. And I hope that VR can help to blur those distinctions in a way, because I think it would be healthy for us as human beings. And for people who have had psychedelic experiences, for instance, this is one of the things that is sort of being advertised is a bad word, is being spoken about as one of the benefits, that you don't have this hard distinction of you, your inner self, meeting the hard, brutal world outside you. Rather, there can be this flow between yourself, and you don't have to feel alienated from your worlds. So that, I think, would be like the grand potential for VR, to find various ways that we can synchronize with our virtual worlds, and that they can bring us some sort of sense of calm, either through the environment being calm and we getting calm, or the environment can respond to our physiological sensors, and through some sort of meditation, get us into an equilibrium of, changing our relation to the virtual worlds. And if we do this over time, maybe that can change our relation to the physical world. So I think the question that I'm trying to answer the most, in research and just in private life, how would that relationship be? What kind of things could we design to alter our relationship to ourselves and the real world? That is like the grand question. So I don't know if you have some reflections on that. It's a really hard question, but how could we change our relationships to ourselves and the world through VR?
I think we have to stop looking at things as being so separate and so physical, because things aren't really separate and physical. That is kind of an illusion, just like VR is. So if you can bring everyone together in an online metaverse and kind of show, you know, you can kind of bring everyone into, I feel like VR could be the ultimate unity, you know what I mean? Where we all, everyone gets together, that and brain interfacing, right? Where we are able to, I think brain interfacing
is
really,
or
really
VR is like the seed of the tree of unity, you know, like whatever it grows into will lead to something like that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, being able to place ourselves digitally and remove what we think is physical. And really that is bringing us to really the core of what humans are and what people are. We're energy, and we, you know, and we are, we're kind of one, you know what I mean? And being able to remove the physical is a plus in my book.
So I find it really interesting how psychedelic experience often comes up when we have philosophical discussion, and even when we talk about the deeper aspects of virtual reality. And to someone who has had a psychedelic experience, when we say things like, you know, we're all one, or we're energy, or whatever, it might trigger something from an experience that you've had that gives you something to hold on to, right? Like something to relate to, because maybe you've had an experience that triggers that, and you're like, you know what? I felt that when I was fucking tripping on LSD, you know. But there's a lot of people out there who are very much into VR who have never experienced psychedelic drugs or had any kind of like astral projection moment, or maybe deep meditative moment, or something like that. And maybe Joachim can answer this for me. Why do you think psychedelics come up in this conversation, and is it important? And in what way can you explain that it's important to someone who has never had an experience like that?
Yeah, that's rough. First of all, is it important? Yes, it is important. And what is the feeling like, or what? Why should we strive for that? That is harder. Because I mean, sometimes it's easy to forget even yourself. But yeah, there is the sense of being isolated, of being this thing and you controlling yourself, there is an alternative to that, which is possible to realize. It doesn't mean that you become a robot and that you just adhere to some sort of external will controlling yourself, but there isn't this sense of something outside you necessarily being something that is antithetical to what you are. I mean, someone describes it that, like, if you're walking up a hill, it's the hill walking you up. So you have exactly the same content in your experience, but it's just a different perspective. So I think what is important to realize is more how much perspective is steering our experience, because that is immense. When you have almost the exact same sensory experience, but your life is flipped completely upside down, then you are being more flexible to other experiences. So I think one of the benefits of either having this through meditation or through other means is just knowing that things can be flexible. And this is what VR can do as well, because VR shows us experiences that makes us flexible. So you have also these cyberdelics like Sound Self, a technodelic, which is sort of trying to give you this meditation in another way. And I think that there is potential in this because VR is already giving you an illusion, so you may be more open to various kinds of sort of subjectivity, objectivity dynamics in this regard. But I don't think that everyone should do mushrooms. That is not some sort of message that I have, but I think we need to be open and flexible to various ways of having experience because it can be healthy.
Yeah. So it's kind of just a matter of perception. Right. So when you do psychedelics, it changes your perception on reality, on life, and on how everything works. And then when you VR kind of does the same thing. You put this device on and you're transported to another dimension, another place, another planet, whatever, with whoever you want to be with. And you are getting different perceptions of things. You're seeing things in different ways, and you're coming together with someone else, and you're both sharing perception. So I feel like it really both kind of bring us together and strip away what we think is so important in the physical world. Mm-hmm. And really it just shows that, you know, that this energy, it's beyond the physical world. We can be in VR and we can be, you know, thousands of miles apart, but we can sit there and we can talk to each other and we can share that energy. You can feel it. There is no physical space between that kind of energy and that kind of connection. Mm-hmm. And it really brings people together in a way that, that nothing else really can, mm-hmm. in my opinion, besides maybe psychedelics,
right? You know, you know, when you talk about like that flip of the perspective, right, where like now it's the same situation but you're kind of just looking at it from a different place, the best way that really the thing that is like the hard part about that is that the perspective that you're usually in is a place that is somehow rooted in fear. Like there's like fear there, mm-hmm. you know, like, and that's not a good thing to experience as like a normal experience all the time, you know. And the best way I heard to illustrate that is it's like you're hanging on the edge of a cliff, right? And like your fingers are like the only thing that's hanging on this cliff's edge, and you're like, holy shit, I'm hanging from a cliff and I'm gonna fall and this is gonna be terrible, I'm gonna die, you know, like I'm hanging and I just really can't. And like eventually you finally take that dive, right? And you let go and you realize that your feet were on the floor the whole time. And you're like, oh, and now you can walk and you can go and explore everything. Whereas before, it's the same situation. You haven't moved anywhere, but now you've gone from thinking that you're hanging on a cliff for dear life, mm-hmm. to where you're actually, your feet are already planted. And once mm-hmm. you just let go of it, oh my God. Yeah. Wow, yeah, I was stuck there.
That's a great way of saying it.
You know,
You know, I was when I just had some guys come and help with some stuff at the house. We had this big sale, and this guy had never done VR before, but he's very, very philosophical and loves all of these types of conversations. So I threw him in VR, and I wanted, you know, someone that's never been in VR before that doesn't play games very much. I wanted an experience where they didn't have to push any buttons, right? So instead of Beat Saber, I said to him, "Do you have a fear of heights?" And he said, "Nah. Nah, you know, I climb up on top of, you know, movie theaters and do lighting and this and that and the other thing." And I said, "Okay, well, I can put you in this experience where a plank will be," and I warned him, you know what I mean, where a plank will be coming off of a building. You'll take an elevator up, the elevator door will open, and there'll just be a plank. And he's like, "Oh, pff, whatever. Yeah, I can do that. Let's do that. Come on, let's go." Right? So he gets down there, and he's all, like, see, you know, he's like, "Oh, man, this is going to be nothing. This will be really easy." And he put the headset on, and he was blown away before he even got in the elevator. Then he got in there, and the elevator went up. And he's like, "Oh, my God, I can feel the G's in my body. I can feel the elevator lifting me." He's telling me this stuff, you know, because you can kind of see through the crack. You can see that you're on your way up in the elevator. And then that door opened, and this tough guy was no longer a tough guy. Wouldn't do it. Would not do it. His body's like, "Oh, my God. I know this is real, but my body won't let me do it. My body is telling me your life is in danger." And he would not walk out on the plank. And he was positive that he was going to be able to. He had no doubts before putting that on. And, you know, that was a life-changing experience for him because, you know, he was able to see that, you know, that it's perception. Perception is really everything. Mm-hmm. You know, he knew he was on the floor. You know, he peeked out of his headset, but he couldn't get himself to do it. Now, you know, it's just one of those stories that you know. Mm-hmm.
Cake batter in the chat, how you doing? He says that he or she says that religious groups will jump on the VR bandwagon once headsets become very cheap. It's a great way to congregate. Do you think they would recreate churches, or do you think they'd be like, "All right, guys, ready to go to heaven?" Like, blast up into the clouds, and there's like light beams and angels flying.
By the way, guys, I just need 2 minutes, and I'll be back.
Sure. Okay.
I have another story regarding the fear of heights thing. By the way,
Cool.
Come back and give it to us.
Yeah. But dude, I thought that was I like to see people that are so positive that they can't be fooled. And have something like their very first VR experience blow them away to the point where their body will not let them do something. Their legs wobble. They're just, you know, it's like it's just like anything, man. You walk up to the edge of the Grand Canyon, your legs start to get a little wobbly, you know, things get crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure if you put me in front of a really good model of a model in VR, things would get wobbly in my pants. That's not real. It's fucking crazy.
It is, dude.
So, what I was going to do today that I guess I won't? Well, maybe I will. I'll probably do it tomorrow. But I have a video from SVVR. Yesterday I posted one of Blair from Lo-Fi talking. After he talked was this guy who was like a part of that like romantic online community and like using like the physical peripherals and stuff like that. And like he talked for like 20 or 30 minutes, I think. So I'm going to post a video about that really soon.
I feel like we definitely got to do an episode discussing morality and the different ways that VR porn and stuff like that is really starting to become, one of those, you know, imagine that guy. Oh, he's all right, Joaquin. So you just walked back into a porn discussion now. So
things change fast on Between Realities.
Yeah, exactly. So like imagine that same experience, right? All of a sudden, you know, that guy had no idea what was about to hit him when those elevator doors opened, right? The same, you know, someone else might see some naked person walk in the room and just, you know, same deal. Like you didn't realize how real it was really going to be, right? I mean, it's just a perception thing.
You know, we already have, I think we're booked for the rest of this season.
Yeah, we are.
Season three,
I would love to do that.
We got to get somebody.
Yeah, because there are devices now, right? Mm. Where you can thrust and on the other side, it mimics your motion.
And we're going to be asking you, chat.
Yeah.
So you better be ready to reveal all of your VR pornography habits.
Because there will be, there's a lot of interesting discussion.
It is an interesting discussion, and no one's having it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's happening.
Right.
A lot.
Well, imagine you are married. Right? Just a quick preview of what this discussion could be like. Imagine you're married, but you don't see porn as cheating, right? But you go into VR and you're able to go into a social experience with another person, but through VR, through the digital world, and you're hooked up to a device where you move your pelvis and you are able to engage in sexual activity. And this is a real product. This is a real product, ladies and gentlemen. And you are able to have that motion across the internet through VR
dynamically.
Where is the line here? Where is the line here?
I think that's it.
Between actually cheating, it being a digital thing, it being a machine, where is the line? Like that's where you start to get into that, like the connection, the real connection that's actually happening, and that's defying distance.
Yeah.
Right. So this is a rabbit hole. I mean, this is a whole entire episode.
I think that the synchronicity would be sort of probably where people draw the line. I mean, in terms of normal porn, right? Those are real persons too, and there is some sort of connection there, maybe. But if you know that there is someone on the other side, that it's not asynchronous but synchronicity. Of course. I doubt most people, I mean, if you are sort of like having cyber sex or sexting with some random chick through Skype or Zoom, I mean, most people wouldn't approve of that either, right?
Right, right.
But porn sort of has its own category usually, or depending, of course, on culture, where it's passive. I mean, it's one person that can sort of give the same thing to millions. Of course, even porn should actually have a discussion, I think, which is not really being had, in terms of the damage that it can do, the damage that it is doing to the actresses, or also the ways in which it can be done professionally and well. But VR porn, yeah, it does get super complicated. And I think, it just goes to show that people have to take responsibility of their own lives and have to make up their own decisions on a whole lot of things, because suddenly there may not have, maybe the societal norms can't really help you anymore. You just have to figure out who are you, what kind of values are you holding, and how is this breaking with your own set of personality, or it's rough.
Shit's definitely gonna get weird, you know what I mean? Like nowadays, you know, you have to, like, maybe if you left the house, you know, you come back smelling like alcohol and you get glitter on your face or something, like, you know what I mean? Then it's like, oh my god, were you out cheating on me? But now it's gonna be like, you were just in that room for 20 minutes with a VR headset.
Right.
You know, jealousy, things are gonna, there's discussion that has to be had about, you know, some of this stuff. And
Brittany says, Black Mirror, Brittany is my fiance, everybody say hi.
Hey,
welcome to the chat. What's up, Brittany? She's here. Tones My Bones is here. And Steve Nose jumping in before the show ends. What's up, Steve Nose? Thanks for being here.
Thank you all for coming. And, you know, just like always, we always forget at the beginning of the show to ask everyone to subscribe. I'm guessing that the people that are still here probably are. But if you aren't, if you could take a second to click that subscribe button and maybe that like button and maybe the bell. Just click anything you see on the screen except the X. But man, I don't know. What do you say? We can go an hour and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know. I'm having fun.
I know. This is, yeah, we can talk about this shit all fucking day, man.
This is great.
Yeah.
It is like Black Mirror.
Yeah, and there is a lot more I want to get into with the Quest 2 and all that, but I almost feel like we should save it for the next show, because if we get into that now, this will be a 3-hour stream.
Dude, what the fuck are we going to say? You know, hey, the Quest 2 is coming, everybody.
No, I know, but there's all kinds of technical. You know me, I like the technical stuff. True. I'm the technical guy, so I like getting into the specs. I like getting into the lenses and the chips and the RAM and all that stuff. So it's fun. And then, you know, anyway. We do want to thank everyone for being here with us, though, because you guys are what make, obviously, no one wants a podcast and nobody. So
Eric,
thank you. We love you guys.
Eric,
we really do.
Tones My Bones, Hussein X, Steve Knows, Future, Dinah Gwen. That's the other lady in the chat. That's what I'm talking about.
My lady.
Thank you guys so much. Joachim, thank you, man. Like,
yes.
I'm so glad that we had the opportunity to do this.
It was awesome. Really great.
Yeah, give us some closing thoughts, man. Wrap this up for us.
Yeah, sure. So first of all, thanks a lot. I love this show. This is where I'm going for basically any news to stay updated. I just love your positive vibe, and it's you're a great team. I just love this thing, and it's going to get huge. It's really going to get huge. It's going to grow. We need this kind of show. It's just I really love it. So keep up the great work.
Thanks. That's great.
And any closing remarks? I don't know. Subscribe
to Joachim's channel.
Yes, guys. Definitely.
Go to AltVR.
Sure.
AltVR on YouTube. Yeah. Go to one of his 100 Twitter channels and subscribe to all of them.
We have if you like this kind of talk, I mean, this is what your content is all about. So
you've obviously gotten every time we pass the mic over to Joachim, he drops some like serious wisdom and truth right away. And that's what we're looking for here. So thank you for joining us, sir. We're going to eject you from the show before we end it ourselves. Goodbye.
Yes. Bye.
Thanks,
buddy.
Man.
Thanks for coming.
Yep. We'll see you.
Adios. So next week, we got Nathie.
Yeah, he's this guy who makes YouTube videos.
I don't know if any of you have heard of him.
He makes YouTube VR videos, and I guess he's doing this project with this other YouTuber called Mr. Beast.
Yeah.
Which I guess is going to be happening pretty soon. Maybe close enough to make this even more badass than it could already is.
Nathie's the OG. You know what I mean? He's like the original gangster, man. He's been doing VR and making VR content since the very beginning, since the DK1, I believe.
Yeah.
So he's played everything. He's done everything. He's kind of the traveling face of everything VR.
Yeah. He's an awesome dude, and he has agreed to join us next week on the show. So, of course, we are super excited to have him and to pick his brain and see what makes him tick.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep.
Sweet.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So thank you guys much. You're the best audience ever. So like and subscribe, and we'll see you next Friday with Nathie.
All right.
Have a great day, everybody.
Bye.
Take care.
Adios.